Take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. You'll find an outline in the bulletin. We're not going to cover that outline completely. I don't think we're not going to get through it all today. We're going to cover the first 2 points. Pastor Duncan Lowe will be preaching next week. And so sometime we'll get back. I'll cover the third point whenever I'm preaching next time, in a couple weeks. So Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 20. It's a parable about the sower, the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils. This is the eternal word of God. Listen to it. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." May God bless the reading of His word. There was a time in my life a few years ago when I was in seminary when I was considering joining the army. It was when these things in Iraq were beginning to get heated, and I wanted to fight for justice. And after some deliberation, I eventually decided not to join. And one of those reasons was this. I thought a lot about it, and one of the reasons was this. I thought that in the midst of battle, I would be expected to obey my commanding officer. And if I did not obey him, I'd have to have a very good reason to disregard his command. And I knew that very likely, possibly, my commander might not be a Christian. And I thought, as a Christian, I would feel like I'd have to examine every command that he's commanding me to do. And morally, I'd have to ask myself if I could submit to it. Is he commanding me to do something in the heat of battle, something that's immoral? And this would be a very hard decision in the midst of it all. And I'm very indecisive, and I figure it would be very hard for me to do that. I'd have a hard time trusting my unbelieving commander. I'd be second-guessing him. Well, in the Christian life, our commander is Jesus Christ. But Jesus makes no errors. Every command is perfect. But so often we treat him as if, oh, I have to examine this to think, can I actually do this? Is this really good for me? When we hear his command, we don't have to wonder whether it's the right thing to do. No, his commands are right and pure. They are good. And our only option is to accept it and submit to it and obey it. Jesus calls us to accept and obey every command, and we should never consider disregarding. Well, here in the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, we are called to accept and submit to the word of God. And Jesus says, if we do this, we will bear fruit. Jesus is your commander. Accept and submit to his command, and you will bear fruit. This is the promise. Today, we're entering a new section, a new unit here in the Gospel of Mark. It's a unit on the teachings of Jesus. And more specifically, it's on the parables that Jesus used in his teachings. Today, we're going to look at the first of these five parables. And it's commonly known, as I've said, as the parable of the sower, but maybe more appropriately, it should be known as the parable of the soils, because really its main focus is not on the sower, but it's on these four different types of soils. Jesus tells this parable based on the farming methods in Israel at the time. Farming back in Israel was a bit different than what we know of farming is today. It was different back in Israel during Jesus' life. The land there in Israel wasn't sectioned off by fences, nicely sectioned off by fences or divided by neat stone walls. But rather, they did their planting outside of town in a vast open field. Now, it's true that the field was divided up into different properties. They were marked off by ancient boundary stones, which were set in place hundreds of years earlier. But there were no hedges, no fences that sectioned off their fields, divided up their fields. There was nothing that kept animals or people out of the field. And so through this wide open field, there were a number of footpaths that cut across in various directions. And you'll remember that when the disciples were accused of breaking the Sabbath by eating grain, picking grain and eating it on the Sabbath day, it says that they were walking through the fields. They were walking through these beaten paths through the fields. These paths were hardened because of traffic. Also in this field, there were certain areas that were plagued by stone, which peaked through the soil or were buried just a few inches below the soil. And then still other places, there were parts of the field that were plagued by weeds and roots that were dug up or cut down. But in some areas, they would come back in force and they would grow up along the crop, along with the crop. Well, to get as much out of the land as possible, the farmer scattered seed all over his field. And as Jesus tells the parable, he says that some of the seed landed on the hardened path and it never penetrated the surface. And these birds came by and would eat the seed. Other seed landed in the area of the field plagued by stones and it sprang up quickly, but it had no roots. And so when the sun came out and beat on this plant, it quickly withered and died. And then other seed also fell along where the weeds were germinating. As the crop grew, the weeds grew with it and it overwhelmed the crop and the crop became unfruitful. And then finally, other seed fell on good soil, soil that was rich, and it yielded crops that were 30, 60, or even 100 times what was planted. And back then, a crop that yielded 30 times what was planted was a really good harvest. A crop that yielded 60 times what was planted was exceptional, and 100 times was absolutely nearly unheard of. So Jesus told this story to these people. And as a lot of pastors get, he apparently got a lot of blank stares. They understood the analogy. They understood this story about the various places in the field, but they didn't understand what Jesus was teaching them. What was the spiritual truth that was behind it? What is this guy talking about? Why is he telling us about a field? Well, at this point, I don't know if anyone understood him. Even his disciples were confused. They had no idea what he meant. And so he took them aside and he explained it to them. The parable begins with the farmer, the seed, and the field. The farmer is the messenger who scatters the word of God. The seed. He scatters the seed, the word of God, all over the field. The parable begins with a universal message. A message that's intended for all people to hear. And this message is the Word of God. The Word of God here primarily refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. It's that message of salvation that Jesus came to proclaim. But more broadly than that, it represents the entire Word of God, the whole counsel of God, which grows out of the gospel. The word of God can really be is really made up of two parts. There's the gospel itself, along with the ramifications of the gospel. It contains the message of salvation along with what it means to live as saved people. It shows us how we are made into children of God and then how we're to live as children of God. It's the gospel along with, it's hearing the gospel, believing the gospel along with living the gospel. The seed is any part of God's holy word. So the farmer, the messenger, takes this seed and he scatters it all over the field. Well, in the context of our story, Jesus is this messenger. He's the one scattering the word of God broadly all over the field. He came and proclaimed and taught the word of God to all kinds of people. Now, it's interesting to realize that Jesus knew the hearts of men. He knew who would accept his message, who would reject his message. He knew those lives that were going to be changed, and he knew whose hearts were going to be hardened. But yet he scattered generously to all kinds of people. He didn't restrict the message only to those who were going to believe in him, but he scattered the seed generously over the whole land. Today, Jesus continues to scatter this message. He continues to spread the word of God, but he does it now through his people. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And by extension, he continues his work of scattering his seed all over the field, all over the world, to all different kinds of people. He calls us to go and make disciples of all nations, to teach them everything that God has commanded us, that Jesus has commanded us. So through Jesus Christ, we are all now farmers. We're all now messengers through him. And this message needs to go to everyone. This is how the kingdom of God grows. We sow generously. We want to make the most out of this field so that when the harvest comes, it's plentiful. So there's this universal message. The parable starts with this universal message. It's this word of God that's scattered over the entire field. But in reaction to this universal message, there are a variety of individual responses. The four different soils represent four different responses to the word of God. And more specifically than that, these soils indicate the state of a person's heart. It's the state of the heart that determines whether the state of the soil that determines whether the harvest is going to be good or bad. A farmer can sow seed, but if the field is good, if the soil is not good, if the soil is bad, then the harvest will be bad. But on the other hand, if the soil is good, if the field is good, then the harvest will be plentiful. The crop will be good. Let's take a look at these four soils. The first soil that's mentioned is the hardened path. The seed that fell on the hardened path didn't penetrate the earth. It didn't penetrate, and the birds came along and ate up the seed. And Jesus explained that these people, as soon as they hear the word, it's taken away by Satan. It's taken away by Satan. It has no impact. This is a hardened heart or an unresponsive heart. These are people who may hear the word of God, the message of salvation. It may go in one ear. It may linger for a little while, but it quickly disappears out the other ear. His heart is so hard that the word never even penetrates. It has no impact. There is no conviction of sin. They see the word of God as foolishness. They think the message of salvation is a fairy tale. No one in their right mind would believe this stuff. These hearts are hardened. They're hostile. They're openly hostile to the gospel. They ridicule the word of God, and they ridicule everyone who believes in it. Who would believe such a thing? Well, Jesus interacted with these kinds of people. And the most obvious example of hardened hearts were the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. So oftentimes, Jesus butt heads with the Pharisees. They hated Jesus. They tried to find ways to accuse him. They were openly hostile to the gospel. They thought Jesus was possessed by the devil. They were against him in every way. Their hearts were hard. They weren't there to listen and obey. They were there to listen and accuse. They were there to condemn Jesus. Some of you here may have hard hearts. Some of you here may have heard the word of God, but you pay no attention to it. You're the master of your own world. You decide what you're going to do. No one's going to tell you what to do. You don't care who Jesus is. You aren't going to submit to him. You think this is just a fairy tale that people believe. Well, if this is what you're thinking, then you have a hardened heart. You are that hardened path that isn't affected by the Word of God. And you need to examine your heart to see where it is. This is the hardened heart. Well, the second soil is the stony ground. Some seeds fell on stony ground where the soil was shallow. And that seed quickly grew because the soil was shallow. Because the soil that was there was good. But because the soil was shallow, it died just about as quickly as it grew up. Because when the sun beat on it, it withered. It didn't have any strength to sustain it. So Jesus says that these are people who hear the word of God and at once or immediately they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble and persecution arise because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the fickle heart, or the impulsive heart, or the heart that's ruled by emotions. These are people who respond to the word based on a whim. They follow their emotions. Maybe they think that Christianity is really a bridge over the troubled waters of life. And so they accept it enthusiastically. But when they realize that instead of the good life, their troubles multiply, they give it up. This isn't what they got in for. This isn't what they signed up for. They didn't think it was worth the cost. Or maybe a fickle heart responded to the word, accepted Jesus in the midst of an emotional period in their lives. When they're going through especially hard times, or an emotional period in their lives, or an emotional service that they went to, and they go home. And when the emotion drops off, then so does their commitment to Christ. A fickle heart is ruled by their emotions. The mind makes all the decisions based on how they feel, not on what is true. I've worked with some of these people, and when I meet them, they're excited about Christianity. They're excited about growing. They talk about how many ways they could be involved. They have big ambitions. They want to read the Bible. They're exciting people to work with. But after a few weeks or a few months, all of a sudden, they drop off the map. All that ambition comes to nothing, and you wonder, what happened? Well, something didn't suit them. Was it something that I said? Did I say something wrong? Something happened, and they walk away from it all. Christianity wasn't what they thought it was. That emotion wasn't sustainable, and so they changed their minds. In the masses that followed Jesus, I think this was probably the most common kind of heart that Jesus spoke to. When Jesus healed people and he did what they wanted him to do, they were happy. But when he spoke to them about hard things, about difficult things, people left. They didn't want to follow a crazy guy. Think about the triumphal entry. People lined the road into Jerusalem as Jesus rode into the city on a donkey. And they were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They loved him. But then 6 short days later, those very same people were shouting, "Crucify him. We hate him." This is a fickle heart. These are fickle hearts. They're ruled by their emotions. Is this the kind of heart that you have? Do you have a fickle heart? Are you here as long as you feel like it? Do you follow Christ as long as life goes the way you want? Do you have a fickle heart? Are you here to sit at the feet of your Lord? No matter what he says, whether life is good and easy, whether it's hard or painful, will you stay at his feet? Will you stay at his feet? Or will you, once you hear something that you don't like, are you going to take off? Are you ready to submit to the Lord, or are you ruled by your emotions? Do you do as you please? This is a fickle heart. The third soil is a soil plagued by weeds. It says that some seeds were sown among thorns, but the weeds grew up and choked the plant and it became unfruitful. Jesus said that these are people who hear the word of God, but because of the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things, they are choked out. The word is choked out and it is unfruitful. This is a distracted heart or preoccupied heart. The soil in this part of the field, it seems good. It seems like it's good soil. The weeds have been cut back or or maybe they don't see the seeds that are underneath the soil. But underneath there, the farmer can't see them, but underneath there, there are runners and weeds and roots of weeds that are ready to come up. And when the word is sown, the soil, it appears to be well received. Word of God seems to be accepted, and it sprouts and it grows, but at the same time, the weeds grow as well. They grow up along with it. And Jesus basically defines these weeds as the shiny things that the world has to offer. These people seem to follow Jesus, but they are so enamored by the world that they can't quite do it. They are distracted. These people try to have one foot in both kingdoms. They want the eternal life that Jesus says he comes to offer, but at the same time, they don't want to give up what they have in the world. They don't want to give up everything that the world has to offer. They are distracted. They're distracted by money and sex and romance and power. They don't want to give these things up. And as a result, they're unfruitful. One of the most obvious examples of this in the Bible, to me, this man came to mind, was the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, after some discussion, he said, "Sell all you have and give it to the poor, and follow me." Jesus knew that this man had a great love for his possessions. He knew that his love for his possessions was stronger than his love for God. And this man went away sad because of all his possessions. He loved his stuff. He was distracted from the kingdom, and he couldn't follow Christ. Do you have a distracted heart? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Is this your priority? Are you willing to give it all up to follow Jesus? Are you trying to straddle that fence? Are you trying to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world? If you love the world too much and you can't let go, you will be distracted from following Christ. You won't be able to do this. If this is the case, then you have a distracted heart. And you will, as the parable says, you will produce no fruit. The fourth soil, and the last soil, is the good soil. Jesus says these people hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. The good soil is a submissive heart. A submissive heart. These people are hungry for the word of God. They hear the word of God because they want to hear the word of God. They reflect on what they hear. They receive the word of God as truth. They put the word into practice and it bears fruit. They sit at the Lord's feet. They do whatever he commands, no matter what it costs them. They do it. Their only option is to accept and submit and obey. Obviously, very obviously, this is a true Christian, a genuine follower of Jesus. This is someone who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One of the best examples of this is the submissive heart of Abraham. When God called him out of Ur, he left his family and his home and he followed God. He left it all to follow God. Or when God commanded him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, it says the very next day he went out and set out to do that very thing. When God commanded, Abraham did it. Of course, Isaac's life was spared, but it showed Abraham's willingness to do whatever God commanded. That was a submissive heart. Do you have a submissive heart? Are you ready to do anything or to go anywhere? If God calls you to the farthest corners of the earth, will you go? If God calls you to stay here, are you willing to stay? If God calls you to go through something hard, will you do it? When you read the Word of God and in there He shows you how you're to live, do you linger and you say, "Well, I don't know, that's going to be hard. I don't know if that's actually the best thing for me." Do you do that or do you just simply submit? Do you submit to your commander? When you hear a sermon preached, do you submit to it? Do you make decisions based on what's best for you or based on what God commands you to do? This is a submissive heart. What kind of heart do you have? Well, Jesus mentions these four soils, but really these four soils can be broken down into two categories. Two categories of people. Those who submit to the word of God and those who don't. Those who follow Jesus and those who follow themselves. Christians and unbelievers. The first three soils can really be grouped together. They're symbolic of unbelievers. The first soil, the hard soil, is obviously an unbeliever. He rejects the word of God. It doesn't even penetrate the heart before it's forgotten. Well, what about the rocky soil? At least it seems that the seed is at least received and it grows. The fickle heart, the impulsive heart, proves to be also a heart of an unbeliever. There are some people who believe that this person genuinely became a Christian, but then because of the stress of life, or because of the persecution, the hard things that they went through, they later reject the faith. Well, there are lots of scriptures and there's lots of verses in the scripture that speak against this interpretation. God teaches that those who really believe in Jesus Christ, who genuinely trust in the gospel, you are always shielded by God's power until Christ returns, until Christ comes again. If you have real, genuine faith, you will never lose it. Well, then what was this? What happened with this fickle heart? Why did this person die? It says these people with the fickle hearts, by falling away, they show that they never actually believed. In the first place, they never really followed Christ. 1 John 2:19 says this most clearly. It says they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. A fickle heart proves to be an unbelieving heart because he turns away from his Savior. Well, then what about the soil that's plagued by weeds, the preoccupied, the distracted heart? The plant didn't die. It doesn't say that the plant died. Isn't this just a Christian who struggles with the Christian life and wrestles with all these things? Well, the key to understanding this soil is the fact that Jesus says that it's unfruitful. The analogy of bearing fruit is commonly used throughout Scripture. It's commonly used by Jesus himself. In Matthew 7, it says that you can recognize true believers by the fruit that they bear. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. And all trees that do not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. If you do not bear good fruit, if you bear no fruit at all, whether it's or if you bear bad fruit, it is the sign of an unbelieving heart. A distracted heart is at its core an unbelieving heart. Again, in John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But if a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. The fruit of our lives show the reality of our heart. And if you do not see good fruit in your life, then you need to examine your heart. Do you produce this good fruit? Out of these four soils, the only Christian soil is that submissive heart. That soil produces a crop that is 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Do you bear fruit? Well, very quickly, what is this fruit? The fruit of a Christian life can't be boiled down to just one thing, I guess. Actually, you could probably say that it's love, since that's the fulfillment of all the commands. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's fruit. There's also humility and compassion and forgiveness. There's a heart for the lost. There's a desire for the Word of God. These things are fruit. If you see these things in your life, you can see them as fruit. But if not, then it shows you the reality of your own heart. If you do not have a submissive heart, then ask God to change your heart. To change your heart into a submissive heart. To change your stubborn heart so that it's submissive to Christ. So what kind of heart do you have? If you're like me, you want to have this submissive heart. But as I read this parable, so often I want to follow Jesus without wavering. I want to accept the Word of God. But I can see aspects of these three unbelieving soils in my own life. We strive for submission, but the fact is that our hearts are not yet perfect. And I often have a distracted heart. I'm distracted by the shiny things that the world offers. I often have a fickle heart. I change my mind. My faith wavers. I often have a hardened heart. I'm not ready to receive the Word of God. I see this in my own life. And as you realize this, These things are in your life as you realize that. It drives you all the more to run to Jesus Christ, to fall at the feet of your commander and admit your failings and rest your plea on His grace. Rest alone on His grace. Because through His grace, He loves His imperfect children. Yes, we want a submissive heart. Yes, we need to have that good soil. But often we fail. Come to Christ. Rest on His grace. And He will embrace you as His child. Jesus is the Lord, and He rules over all things. And as His followers, whatever He commands, whatever He tells us to do, no matter the consequences, we are commanded to obey. We have no choice. We are not to deliberate to see whether the command is good for us. No, accept and submit and obey. Do this, and you will bear fruit. Let's pray. Gracious God, we rejoice over the pure heart that Jesus had, over the purity of our Savior, our Commander, our King. We thank You that He showed us what a pure heart looked like. And we seek and strive to follow Him in all that we do, but oftentimes we do fall short. Father, let us rest on Your grace alone. Let's remember that anything that is good in our life comes from Your grace. We ask that You would take away the fickleness and the hardness and the distractedness of our hearts. Take these things away and give us a submissive heart. Let us follow You no matter what it costs and no matter what You command. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.